call to order. The regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council is called at 6:05 p.m. on Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023, following a meeting of Board of the Equalization. Councilman Bell, please read our mission statement.
Mission statement is to provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. City Clerk, please call the roll, please.
Certainly, Mr. Bell.
Here.
Ms. Coleman.
Here.
Ms. Luby.
Here.
Mr. Nicholson is absent. Mr. Robinson.
Present.
And Mr. Tumble.
Here.
And Mr. Hudier.
Here. On a roll call vote, we have five members present. We have a quorum. Please join Councilman Tungo in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Welcome to the City of Unalaska's council meeting on May 23rd. All those present in the chamber, thank you for being with us this evening. At this time, I will ask the city clerk to administrate the oath of office to our new city manager, William Honka.
All right, Mr. Honka, if I could get you to raise your right hand and take your oath of office, please.
Certainly. I, William Honka, do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of city manager of the City of Unalaska in true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the State of Alaska, and the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska. I take this oath freely without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Congratulations, Mr. Honka.
Thank you.
Our next item is the Employee Anniversary Award. At this time, we'll honor the 15-year employment anniversary of John Warden. Come on down, please. Thank you. Who started with the Department of Public Safety Corrections Division on May 9th, 2008. John, your professionalism, knowledge, skill, and dedications are of exceptional value to the City of Unalaska and Department of Public Safety. Your fellow staff members and City Council, thank you for your service. Read this here. It says, this plaque says, the City of Unalaska honors your 15 years of meritorious service with the City of Unalaska. Your professional knowledge, skill, and dedication has been of exceptional value to the City of Unalaska. Your fellow staff members, City of Unalaska Council, and community, thank you for 15 years of service with the city. May 9th, 2008 to May 9th, 2023. Also have a 15-year pin here. Conservation, Mr. Warden. Second. Next item is a proclamation declaring June 2023 Workplace Safety Awareness Month. Whereas the National Safety Council designates each June as National Safety Month to promote, encourage health and safety in the workplace and communities. And whereas the city of Unalaska is a city of industry comprised of diverse businesses and workplaces, whereas implementing health and safety programs is vital to employees and businesses and can improve business performance, as well as contribute to the local economy and the job force. Whereas many accidents and injuries in the workplace are preventable, and employees and employers must be engaged, educated, and aware of the safety practices and policies. Whereas the workplace injuries lead to an increased medical and workers' compensation costs, diminishes productivity of employees, and whereas workplace safety requires cooperation of employees, business, and industry, and all levels of government as well as general public, whereas promoting good workplace safety and health practices are endeavors worthy of support of the City of Unalaska. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Senior Mayor of City of Unalaska, hereby announce and proclaim all citizens that June 1st through the 30th of 2023 is Workplace Safety Awareness Month. And all businesses and citizens are encouraged to promote and encourage safe and healthy work environments. Dated this date, 23rd day of May, 2023. Okay, thank you. Next is the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tung. Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of May 9th meeting.
Move to approve minutes of previous meeting, May 9th, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tung, seconded by Councilman Coleman. They're hearing no objection. The proposed minutes are approved. Minutes are approved. Reports. First one up, financials for April 2023.
Mr. Mayor, we have our interim finance director, Clay Darnell. Darnell is here, and he will give us the update for the April financials. Okay.
Good evening. We'll be reviewing the interim financials for the 10 months ended April 30th. On page one, you'll find the memo, but just overall, remember we looked at the March financials approximately 2 weeks ago, and all the flux explanations for March are really the same. The percentages have changed, the numbers have changed, but for example, the revenues are still ahead of where we estimated that they'll be, and the spending is still behind the budget, except for two areas that are indicated within the memo that we're working on bringing forward a budget amendment at the next meeting. But those two areas are city administration and the airport. But just for a quick review and to incorporate an additional report that we have this time, let's turn to page three and you'll see the general fund operating summary. So our total general fund revenues were budgeted at $30.3 million, and year to date for the 10 months, we've received $37 million, which is 123% of the budgeted amount, compared to the prior year of $28 million. You can see there's almost a $9 million increase over the prior year. And moving forward to the total operating expenditures, we have budgeted $31 million. We spent $22 million, so we're at 72% expended, and we're at 83% of the year. So our savings there is 11%, which is approximately $3.4 million. And then I wanted to show the percentage of that amount or the dollar amount that's attributable to personnel savings. So on the last page, we have an additional report this time. That's the personnel expenses, and it shows the savings through April 30th. And there you can see for the general fund in the bottom right of the screen, $2.4 million. So of the $3.4 in savings for the first 10 months, $2.4 is attributable to personnel. So we've got $1 million worth of savings in other areas. So that's how to use this report in the back in conjunction with the regular reports that we can see. That would answer the question that was asked. And next, I wanted to turn back to for the utilities or the proprietary funds to page 20. This might be a challenge to see, but I'll show you. This report shows the same results from the reports that you're used to seeing earlier in the report, but we'll just take a quick look at the electric proprietary fund. Our revenues were budgeted or estimated to be $16.6 million. Year to date, we've received $16.9 million, so we're at 102% with 83% of the time elapsed, and we're forecasted to earn an additional $3.2 million through the end of the year, so that'll put us at $20 million. So at the end of the year, we'll be at 121% of the budgeted amount with a positive variance of $3.5 million. The combination of that, the excess revenues and the spending savings on the expense line of $2.8 million gives us a positive variance overall of $6.4 million. So that's how this report works. Okay? And then continuing forward on this same page down to airport. That's the other area that we're going to be looking at a budget amendment for. Our revenues were budgeted at $560,000. We've received $420,000, which is 75% of the estimate with 83% of the year elapsed. We estimate we'll get approximately $84,000 more. We'll be at $504,000 or 90% of the estimate. For our revenues, that's an unfavorable variance of $56,000. That unfavorable variance combined with the unfavorable spending variance of $7,600, that's scary, gives us a combined negative variance of $63,000. So we're looking at a budget amendment to cure that because we've only appropriated $338,000. And we're estimated to be at $402,000. So we'll have to have a budget to take care of that. That's all I had planned for this evening, but I am prepared to answer any questions that you have.
Good, thank you. Any questions from the council? Councilman Coleman?
No, just more of a comment. I want to say thank you for pulling that out, the personnel costs. We just kind of shows what I it was fairly obvious to suspect. It was nice to see a number on that. And I know that when you guys do your projections for the budget, as we're going to talk about later, you know, you're going to go with full staffing, you know, expecting full staffing. So kind of hard to compare those numbers, but I get that's it's good to see that. So thank you very much for the work on that. So nice to see. I know that personnel, you know, that's like 60 some odd percent of your budget plus. So when you have shortages, you're obviously going to have less expenses in that area overall with the general budget. And then I know that May tends to be like our quiet month here, but it's good to see us ahead. And at this point that things revenues definitely could slow down. And our investment earnings has definitely done very well compared to projected. I think that's been a big big showing here. And it's been a nice to see that. This really helped our bottom line on that. So and then you never know, right? So that's one of those variables that's really, really tough to pinpoint. So that's always favorable to see. So thank you very much for your efforts.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions on the financials, Councilman Robinson or Luby?
I'm here.
All right, thank you for the report. Next item is the city manager report. I'll turn it over to the new city manager.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and City Council. the report before you tonight just has a brief update. I wanted to let you know where I was with some of the council directives. And you know, planning is already working on a new policy statement to address the eligibility for the AMPQ. First, then the site control for IFHS. We're working on that. We just had a meeting today about the Japanese training squadron that's coming to town. There's going to be quite a bit of work that we're doing and hosting this group and team effort. It's here from June 5th through June 8th. And I'd like to announce that we've promoted Mr. Ben Knowles to from captain to fire chief. His first day will officially be June 1st. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions or comments for the city manager? Anyone on the telephone, Councilman Robinson or Luby? Okay, thank you.
Any update on some of the grants we applied, especially did we apply the one for the captain's bureau?
I don't have an update for that. I don't think there's been a decision. I was just meeting down there today. I think we had an award or an answer. I would have been told about it. So no news, maybe good news, right?
Thank you.
Anyone else? Hey, thank you, city manager, for your report. Next item is a community input and announcements. It's time for the members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, and state your name.
I'm Lynn Crane. I'm speaking on behalf of the IFHS Clinic. I just want to make sure everyone knows about the Memorial Day barbecue and farewell party for Mylin Dang and Dr. Meg Czernicki. Friday, May 26th from 2 to 5 p.m., there'll be food and a chance to come together and to say goodbye to two of our favorite folks that have worked with us for many years up there. Hope to see everybody there.
Thank you.
Hello. Roger Blakely, Parks and Recreation. Just wanted to give you an update on the community cleanup. We had over 800 bags of garbage picked up and over 17,000 pounds of garbage taken to the landfill. I want to thank everybody in the community for helping us out and making our place a beautiful place to live in. And also on Tuesday, June 6th, we're having a community swim meet. Come and sign up and swim and let's have some fun.
Thank you.
Jenny Hatfield, Museum of the Aleutians. I just wanted to announce a few of our events. On Thursday, May 25th at 6:30, we have our trivia on KUCB and Channel 8. On June 9th, we will have the opening of the Under the Sea Art Show, which features art by Carl Mihalik. That's will open at 6 p.m. We'll also be hosting the Japanese cadets when they come through on June 5th and June 6th. We're pretty excited about that, too. And July 7th, we'll have a talk at the library that we'll be hosting the Alaska Volcano Observatory folks who are coming in. And they're going to talk about Makushin Volcano and kind of update us on how to be prepared and be aware of the volcano. Thanks.
Great, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Catherine McGlashan, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. Tomorrow we have Alaska Travel Graham Scott McMurrin coming into town. He'll be here for 2 days and UVB will host him and take him around the community. And so he'll be making some stops and visits to all the offices and our locations around town. Also, the scenic eclipse is coming tomorrow. Just a little over 100 passengers, so a smaller vessel, but it's kind of nice to have the smaller vessels in town. We can accommodate and spend more time with them. So just wanted to give you that update. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, I just wanted to give a shout out to two of my utility divisions. One of them is a landfill because those 800 bags didn't magically go into the cell. So there's a lot of separation that takes place, and they did a good job taking care of that. And also today, and I'm totally going to jinx this, and it's going to be my fault, but this was the 100th day without an outage. So I want to give props to my... to my powerhouse, the men and the lady at the powerhouse, done a great job working as a team to keep the lights.
All right, good job. Thank you.
Hi, Frank Kelty. Remember me? Anyway, it's nice to be home again. Just a few updates on fishing sectors. We had the North Pacific Council meeting starting June 8th through 11th in Sitka. I will be attending that meeting for 4 days. Not a really heavy agenda. Usually when they go out to remote locations, they lighten up their agendas. We have the golden king crab specs will have to be approved for the upcoming season. At the king crab meeting in Juneau last week, the plan team meeting, they increased the OFL and ABC amounts, which leads me to believe that the tax that the state sets for brown golden king crab and the Aleutians possibly would go up maybe a little bit over 5 million pounds, but the state's usually pretty conservative, so we'll have to see what happens. Last year's allocation was 4.9 million together for the East and West districts. So that's on the agenda. They also are going to do their initial review on the Red King Crab closure areas, which will be pretty interesting to see what they come up with on that. And small sable fish release and observer annual reports. And then they have some crew data collection discussions. So it's not a real heavy agenda. Moving on to the pollock bee season, it's getting ready to start here, June 10th. The allocation for all sectors, all four sectors, is starting June 10th is 780,000 metric tons. That's 1.7 billion pounds. 60% of the allocation comes during the bee season. The catcher vessel allocation for Unalaska shore plants is 248,000 metric tons. In pounds, that's 547 million pounds. And if the price stays in the mid-teens like it's been the last few years, that would probably put ex vessel value around $92 million. Local 2% landing tax estimate would be like 1.8 million. And then with the resource landing and state Alaska fishery business tax, they would be about 1.3 each because it's a half a percent less than the 2% local tax. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully they'll have good fishing again and good sized fish for fillets. And the last thing I wanted to touch on is the crab disaster funding. I had a conversation again with ADF&G and Juneau today. The $12.9 million for the 2019 Tanner crab money is on the, is just about 5-6 months away. Carla Bush told me that there's still a little bit of a they're waiting on a ruling from NOAA on direct payments to community on this smaller amount of money. This amount for the 2019 disaster for Tanner Crab was $12.9 million. And so there's a little cash, but we think it's gonna be okay. Unalaska's share of that is the negotiated settlement for communities was 4.75% of the total. And Unalaska should be around 50 to 55% of that action, and the rest would go to whatever went on in Acatan, St. Paul, and King Cove. So we, for our section on this amount, would be around $330,000, $350,000. And the thinking was that if everything goes smoothly, on the last steps on this one. We should see that money within 5 to 6 months. On the bigger tax that you've seen some of the press on, that it's about $191 million for the snow crab and king crab fishery with the 2021-22 and 2022-23 season combined. It's about $190,000. The negotiations haven't started yet on how the split would go with that between harvesters, processors, and communities. But looking at it, if we kept our same percentage for communities as the first disaster funding at 4.75%, and around 55% of that would come to Unalaska since we're the largest crab processing community. And on the first go-round, they based it on what was landed in the communities for the split. That'd be approximately for this large disaster amount, probably around $5 million for the general. So that'd be a good chunk of change, but that's still 12 months to 18 months out. So we'll see how it develops. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Emlyn Crane speaking on behalf of USAVE Now. First, I want to remind everyone of the Unalaska Interagency Cooperative Meeting, which is this Thursday, May 25th at 12 noon at the library. This is an informal meeting, but it's very worthwhile because it's a great place to hear about what's happening around town. And you'll get a sense of how local nonprofits and other agencies are constantly working together behind the scenes. Secondly, USAVE is working with the Kahlawangan tribe to promote awareness of missing and murdered Indigenous women. Despite comprising only about 2% of the U.S. population, Native women and girls are murdered at a rate that is 10 times the national average. This Friday, May 26th, we'll be screening the documentary Bring Her Home, so we can all learn more about this important issue. Please join us this Friday in the beautiful new community room at the Unalaska Public Library. The movie will start at 6, and we will provide light refreshments. Thirdly, this summer, as we have done for many summers now, USAVE will be providing food boxes to families who, during the school year, rely on the free and reduced cost school breakfasts and lunches to ensure that their kids get enough to eat. We all know how expensive everything has gotten, and food insecurity is a real issue for many families in our community, especially during school breaks. In fact, it may surprise you to know that about 17% of our K-12 students qualified for free or reduced meals during the 22-23 school year. If anyone knows someone who might need a little help with food, please have them call us at 581-1500, whether they have kids or not. Finally, USAVE is planning to hold a Pride barbecue on Friday, June 2nd in the high school parking lot from about 5 to 7 p.m. USAVE's mission statement says that we empower people and create a culture of nonviolence and respect. When we're seeing intense, organized, and well-funded efforts around the U.S. and even in some parts of Alaska to erase our LGBTQ+ family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, and community members from public life, and to make their lives more difficult and more dangerous, it is clear that combating that kind of prejudice falls well within USAVE's mission. We, and I mean everyone in this room, have a responsibility to create a community that is safe for everyone, and that is not just tolerant of diversity, but that embraces and celebrates our differences. It is particularly important that our LGBTQ youth in this community know that they belong here, that we have their backs, and that they are safe here to be authentically who they are. I really hope you'll join us. We'll have some fun family activities, and the pirate chef will be deep frying everything in sight, I'm sure. If you have any questions, please call USAVE at 581-1500. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment or input? Okay, anyone on the phone or Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until item comes up for a regular agenda. Comment later during the regular agenda. You need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, state your name, use the microphone. Okay. Is anyone on the Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing, and there's a 3-minute time limit. Please come to the podium and state your name. First item is a public hearing on Ordinance 2023-03 adopting the fiscal year 2024 operating capital budget is now open. Does anyone wish to speak? Anyone on phone or Zoom?
No, sir.
This public hearing is now closed on Ordinance 2023-03. Next is a public hearing on Ordinance 2304. Authorizing a city manager to dispose of surplus personal property by the manufacturer buyback of specialty chlorine gas containers from the Pyramid Water Treatment Plant is now open. Does anyone present wish to speak? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. This public hearing on Ordinance 230304 is closed. Next item is our item 14 is the consent agenda, in which there are three items. Absent a request from council to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The titles of the consent agenda items are Resolution 2023-24, authorizing the city manager to sign the FY24 Community Schools Agreement between the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska City School District. Next, item B, Resolution 2023-25, approving the mayor's appointment of Marjorie Beter to the city's representative to the board of directors of the Museum of the Aleutians. Next item is Ordinance 2023-04, second reading, authorizing the city manager to dispose of surplus personal property by the manufacturer buyback of specialty chlorine gas containers from Pyramid Water Treatment Plant. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman and seconded by Councilman Hunkel. Request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, sir. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 5-0. With the vote, council has adopted Resolution 2023-24, Resolution 2023-25, and Ordinance 2023-04. All have been approved. We are now on the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2023-26.
I move to adopt Resolution 2023-26.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle and second by Councilman Bell. Resolution 2023-26, certifying the 2023 real property and personal property tax rolls. We'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Yes, mayor and council. So each year council certifies the tax roll pursuant to code, and adoption of resolution 2023-26 will accomplish the certification of tax roll. Staff and city manager recommendation is approval, and the agency of origin for this is the clerk's department. Margie's here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Is there discussion by the council? Anyone wish to make comment? Councilman Robinson and Councilman Booby on resolution 2326. Hearing no discussion from council. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
There's been no one signed up, sir.
Thank you. The motion is to adopt resolution 2023-26, certifying the 2023 real property and personal property tax roll. This time we'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly, sir. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tumble?
Yes.
And Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0, council has adopted resolution 2023-26. Next item is ordinance 2023-03, second reading, adopting the fiscal year 2024 operating and capital budget. May I have a motion and second to adopt ordinance 2023-03?
Move to adopt ordinance 2023-03.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the city manager for discussion.
Mr. Mayor and Council, this ordinance is presented to you by the Finance Department about what our future budget will be for FY24. You've had opportunities to review and comment on it, as well as all of the supporting budgets that are contained within it, such as the CMMP. Happy to answer any questions you may have about this ordinance.
Okay, thank you. We have a council discussion at this time on 2023-03. Councilman Robinson or Councilman Coleman, Luby, any discussion?
Yeah, Mayor Trudiakoff. This is Councilman Luby. Can you hear me?
Sorry. Councilman Luby or Councilman Robinson on the phone.
This is Councilman Luby. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment was all that I think staff worked very hard on this budget and they brought us back to a balanced budget. So I think that was commendable of them. And I just wanted to say thanks to all the staff. So that's the only comment I had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Councilman Luby. Any further comment from council? Hearing none. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. I'll restate the motion. The council moved and seconded to adopt ordinance 2023-03, second reading, adopting the fiscal year 2024 operating and capital budget. Roll call vote, please.
Certainly, sir. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Tumble?
Yes.
And Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5-0, with this vote, the council has adopted ordinance 2023-03. Next item is ordinance 2023-05, first reading, amending the fee schedule, specifying the fees and charges for services, labor, and equipment provided by the city. I have a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2023-05 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 13, 2023.
Move to introduce ordinance 2023-05 and schedule a public hearing second reading on June 13th, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungo. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Yes, sir. Mayor and Council, each year you have an opportunity to review the fee schedule, which is attached to this report presented to you tonight in advance of the coming fiscal year. We are moving into FY24. We want to present proposed changes to the fee schedule, and happy to answer any questions you have or call the appropriate department up if it indeed is more detailed than I can provide.
Thank you, City Manager. Is there a council discussion on Ordinance 2023-05? Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. I was looking at your memo on the public utilities, and you're talking about rate changes in solid waste and wastewater, but we do have the rate changes. Is that because of the fee study we had? It goes up, it was supposed to go up every year. So it seemed like that there were changes, but then you say there weren't changes. So is that because of the rate study that we did years ago, and therefore we're seeing that? I know that there were steps in with that, not just one year, but we're seeing it every year and such. And then if it is, then when do we do a new rate study on that?
Mayor, Councilmember,
what's the actual question? I kind of lost it in there.
So in the memo, it talks about under public utilities about changes. There were rate changes, that there were no rate changes, but there were rate changes that saw that there were quite a few things that were crossed out and increased. And I was just wondering if that was because of our rate study where we had incremental every year, it was supposed to go up a certain amount. And is that a reflection of that, or what was the other determination for those rate increases?
Yeah, Councilwoman Coleman, that's exactly what that was. We set 4 years of rates for the last rate study. We cleaned it up a little bit and got rid of the first couple just to clean it up a little bit. But originally I had all 4 years on it. And so now we have 2 more years that are set that went before council and are set. I didn't make any changes except for I dropped the price on refrigerant because we can do it in-house and trying to make it a little more acceptable to the community so we'll get a better participation. But otherwise, those rates were all set by the rate study. I included funds in this year's budget to do a rate study. And so this is a little early, actually. But I mean, we can tell by the revenues coming into the utility divisions that the rates are working, the new rates are working. So we want to make sure that we're, on the right track. So we're going to try to maybe next spring do a rate study.
Okay, this is not so much a question, but really more of a comment, and I think I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole here because it's obviously may not have to take the fees, but as I was reviewing the vehicle disposal fees here, I think it and then looking at the expenses for the utilities of solid waste and possibly how we're doing on our, if this is meeting the needs of our vehicle disposals. I've heard from public comment that it seems to be a little bit of like, are the vehicles being picked up? I mean, we have a lot of abandoned vehicles. So I know we have a fee schedule surrounding vehicles that are taken over there, but I'm wondering if it is meeting our needs. And it's, that's rhetorical because it's not. This may not need really be the place, but I do want to bring it up as a matter of consciousness that I think this is something that we need to have a bigger, more comprehensive discussion on, and is what is our abandonment problem here with vehicles here? How are we moving them off the island? And are our fees that are taxed, towards our title, I mean, our registrations, are they meeting the needs of this? And if they're not, what do we need to be doing to change this? So it's kind of more rhetorical. I'm sorry, because it's really not about the fee schedule, but it's kind of about the fee schedule.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be completely rhetorical. I can give you a couple comments on that. I've been working with a number of people, most recently Scott and I are working on it. Scott inherited it. I think we have probably a solution in place that will work. The answer is the system isn't working, but we created the system. We basically made it impossible for the average person to turn in their vehicle. They can turn it in at no cost at the landfill if they go through a literally impossible process to get it to that point. They have to remove all their fluids. They have to remove the tires from the rims. They have to deliver it to the landfill, which is almost certainly going to be an illegal tow. So, I mean, we basically made it impossible for the average person. I'm almost a mechanic, basically, and I tasked myself with processing a vehicle to be disposed at the landfill, and I decided that I really didn't feel like it, and I'm pretty handy. So how the average person can dispose of a vehicle at the landfill is beyond me. So the answer on the money part of it is that fee to generates, I think, around $30,000 and $40,000 in revenue. Whenever we get rid of vehicles, it usually costs about $250,000. So the fee doesn't really, the registration fee doesn't really cover the disposal. The city manager can speak to, we have some things that are coming up that might be good possibilities for us to get rid of some of these in bulk with some of these self-bound barges maybe or other ways. But every year it's getting hard to find somebody to take our scrap and our abandoned vehicles. And we've made it impossible for the general populace to get rid of their vehicles. Alyeska Seafoods, if they bring a vehicle over, it's clean. The car rental place, CarQuest brings over a vehicle, it's usually pretty good. But for the average person, they're not gonna go through that process. They're gonna park it at the airport and fly out of here. They're gonna park it at the port. They're gonna park it wherever they can park it, and we're stuck with it. I think we have 90 or 100 vehicles that the city now owns that we've taken possession of that we have to process and get into the landfill. Or even better would just be to get them off the island. So I have a lot of time in meetings on abandoned vehicles. I don't want to take a lot of your time, but that's some of the high points, I think. But yeah, we are working on it.
Yeah, thank you. And like I said, I don't want to go too far off subject here, but I'd be looking forward to maybe a work session here at some point where we can be discussing this, because there's brought up several things, and I think there's even, there's a lot of nuances to this, but a lot of things we need to be addressing. So, but thank you for that information.
Yeah, the city has formally impounded, I think, close to 100. A little bit more than 100 vehicles that are currently outside the landfill. I think there's only like 37, maybe 40 vehicles inside the landfill because of the process involved to get it processed and inside the landfill. But we're working on a better system.
City manager?
Steve is accurate in terms of we're still looking for different ways and partnerships to try and work to get some of the abandoned vehicles and or vehicles that people have maintained on their property with the hopes of being able to get rid of it. They're not all abandoned. There's quite a bit of, as vehicles that need to be dealt with on this island. The other issue is, what financial implications are there? And that's a whole nother, I think, discussion. It's pretty clear that it does not cover the cost for trying to get cars off the island. And indeed, there's workarounds for people to not even pay that registration fee if they register somewhere else. I can't understand that, but that's fact. So there's really kind of two things you're talking about that I heard more about, the financial capability of the program, if we should call it that, abandoned car program, work, and then how does the actual process work and where does it go? So we're working on the first right now. Where do they go and how do we get them?
Thank you, Councilman Tuttle.
Yeah, back on the rate. We did the 4 year. Where are we on the 4 year incremental raising?
This fiscal year 24 is the third year of the 4 years. So we're entering the third year.
So we're entering the third year this year. So we're are we due for another?
I was going to do a rate study actually a little bit early, maybe next spring, and I funded for that in each of the utility admin budgets. I set aside funds to do a rate study this fiscal year, just to make sure that we're, that was a Chris Laddick suggestion. And so I put those funds in place. We're going to be doing it possibly a year early. They take time, so it will probably, by the time it's all settled, it will probably be into that fiscal year, that last fiscal year. They take a bit of time.
I remember it's being pretty significant the last time we did the raise. So hopefully we won't do the same thing like what we did the last study that we did. Because I know we really stick it to them last time, and I hate to see another one of those things.
I'd just like to speak to one thing, if I could, about that. And this is just a general comment. Is if you remember from 2017 to 2020, there was a four-year period where we took $1.4 million out of the 1% fund, I believe, and we funded utilities. And that was since 2020, we haven't been taking that $1.4 million because we did do what I believe is the amount of rate required to make it, you know, pay for itself, which is the proper way we should do it. So not only are we, that's the idea behind these rate increases is we haven't used that $1.4 million a year that we did for 4 years. And that was from ordinance to help utilities, where utilities are on their own. So
also the significant raise that we did the last time they did the study. That's what I'm
thinking. Yeah. Okay. And it was a significant rate increase for some of the utilities.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple comments, and they're along the same lines as Councilman Coleman here. First of all, as far as this ordinance, I'll support what staff has recommended here. My comment is along the same lines is, you know, we talk, what's been in the forefront of everyone's mind recently has been the cost of living here, and abandoned vehicles and getting rid of that type of stuff is definitely difficult. And you hit the nail on the head as far as trying to get rid of a vehicle. Even with the number of vehicles, if you look around town and start looking even deeper, there's, you know, forklifts, other pieces of equipment, other pieces of steel, airplanes, whatever it may be, all that, you know, need to go bye-bye off this island. They're just basically sitting there rotting. But when you look at the solid waste and the fees for that, and as a homeowner, even to do like a remodel, if you remodel a bathroom or kitchen or something like that, all that construction debris that comes out of there has to go somewhere. And either it gets buried in someone's backyard, gets put in a pile and rots in someone's yard, or we spend a bunch of money trying to get rid of it at the landfill. And it's a deterrent to, you know, continue to either live here or make responsible decisions as far as where that waste goes and how it gets rid of. So I think that definitely needs to be a bigger conversation as we move forward down the road on some of these other, you know, some of the other stuff that goes into the landfill that costs money. A couple of appliances, you could put a refrigerator and a stove in there and spend several hundred dollars just getting rid of those really quick. So anyways, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Robinson and Booby, any comments on this ordinance? Okay, thank you. I had concerns about similar item that Councilman Bell brought up regarding the landfill by community members. There's a exorbitant amount of money being spent by the community, and we feel that if we raise the rates to the to the industry, for the industry garbage, you could cover the costs for local people, cover, get rid of their vehicle, refrigerators, and those kinds of items that cost almost $150 per refrigerator to get it into the landfill. There again is another idea that we push everything on the residents. And so we ought to, I would agree, we need a work session to figure out something. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think we do have an issue with abandoned vehicles on private properties, on individuals' own property. They get up and leave and they sell it to somebody. They say, well, it's not mine. They drag it out in the middle of the road. And city has to deal with it. So I don't know. We've got to figure out some other way to get rid of these abandoned vehicles and items that are in people's homes when they leave. Okay. Any further discussion from council? City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
I'll restate the motion. Adopting ordinance 2023-05, reading amending the fee schedule, specifying the fees and charges for services, labor, and equipment provided by the city. I'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly, Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
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 Bell.
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0 resolution, this vote, the council has introduced ordinance 2023-05 and scheduled it for public hearing second reading on June 13, 2023. Ordinance 2023-06, first reading, amending the Port of Dutch Harbor on Alaska Marine Center Terminal Tariff. May I have a motion and a second to introduce the ordinance 2023-06 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 13th.
I move to introduce ordinance 2023-06 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 13, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle and second by Councilman Coleman. This time I'll turn it over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This ordinance is prepared and comes to you from the Ports Department. And it's the UMC Center Terminal Tariff Rates, tying that to the Consumer Price Index as a guide. It also has a fee schedule increase. And Ms. McLaughlin here is here to answer any questions that you may have about this proposed ordinance.
Okay, thank you. Any council discussion at this time on tariffs? Councilman Robinson or Luby? Councilman Bell?
I'm not sure exactly how my question here, but I'm reading the sentence here where 7% comes from the increased CPI and inflation. Maybe I don't know if you can expand upon the 7%. If that keeps us consistent with other ports and other fees in different areas of Alaska, or why 7%? Thank you.
7% is kind of the stopgap, and that's what we proposed in the fee structure. The adoption of that, basically, whenever our tariff refers to the fee schedule for its rates, so we have to adopt that into the tariff in order for the fee structure for it to be a legal document. So all we're saying is that the rates in the tariff that refer to the fee section, the fee schedule, we are adopting those rates. The 7%,
did come into play with a calculation, looking at the kind of time when we were doing the analysis, the somewhere between 9.5% and 11% increase inflation rate, and the differences in what we were doing with our deficit in the port. That was kind of the balancing act and hoping to fill the stopgap based on volume and all of those pieces until we could get the fee schedule or the fee analysis done, which is budgeted for in FY. Does that answer your question? I think if we're comparing ports to ports, it's kind of apples and oranges because our costs of doing business here are very different than those in Juneau, as example.
Yeah, that does. And you know, I spent a whole bunch of time looking at the budget here, and I didn't get real deep into the tariffs and all that stuff. So just trying to understand, you know, is 7% going to get us where we need to be? Does it need to be higher? Or could we get away with a lower increase? That's my thought process. Thank you.
We believe that this will keep us going in the right direction until we have a full professional analysis done of our fee structure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further discussion on Ordinance 2023-06? Councilman Robinson or Councilman Ruby? Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion, the ordinance to adopt Ordinance 2023-06, first reading, amending the Port of Dutch Harbor, Unalaska Marine Center, Terminal Tariff. May I have a roll call, please?
Chairman, sir, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. A roll call vote of 5-0. With this vote, the council has introduced Ordinance 2023-06 and scheduled it for public hearing second reading on June 13, 2023. The next item is the executive session. Request a motion and a second to go into executive session.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I will motion to move into executive session to discuss personnel and financial matters related to contract negotiations with Inland Boatman's Union, matters which, if immediately discussed in public, might negatively impact the interests of the city. Present in executive session will be the mayor and council, city manager Bill Honka, HR manager Amy Stanford, Sports Director Peggy McLaughlin and Deputy Director Patrick Bliss.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Tungle. Is there any objections? We're going to executive session. Hearing no objection, we are in the executive session at 7:09. PM. Everyone, please clear the room.
Mr. Mayor, this is the city clerk. I will note that the city manager has decided that the HR manager, Amy Stanford, won't be joining us. So, just FYI.
I make a motion to return into a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Bell. We're out of the regular session at 7:18 p.m. Let's see, next item in the regular session is the resolution 2023-27 authorizing the city manager to sign the agreement between the city of Unalaska and the Inland Boatman's Union of the Pacific Alaska Region, representing Department of Ports and Harbors employees. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2023-27.
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 2023-27.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Turn this over to the city manager to include.
Thank
you, Mayor and City Council. This is at least the second time that we've met and on this subject, and I'm happy to report that the discussion between the courts and IBU members was successfully concluded. The specifics are included in the CBA that is attached, and also some of them, the particulars in this memo. If you have any questions, please ask, and I'll have either Patrick Bliss or Peggy McLaughlin from the Courts Department answer your questions.
Okay, thank you. City Manager, any comments? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I just want to thank the participants on both sides of the table for speedy negotiations, and I will support this resolution.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Each of the council members must state the reason for their vote at some point during the council discussion. So let's go down the line. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. Again, thank you for everyone who facilitated this negotiation. I think this falls in line with previous actions on making sure that our employees are understood to be valued assets to the city, and that part of the way that we can do that is to make sure that they provide them with a salary or with a rate that is comparable to being able to live here. And so hopefully this will fulfill that need if we are able to provide that for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Dungle.
Job well done. Your people involved in getting this negotiation get done. So, and for the crew, I think that's well deserved. I think they're still catching up in line with the rest of the city. So, I think they deserve more than that. But there'll be another negotiation in the coming years. And I appreciate all the efforts that they put in to keep this community going. This is a number one fishing port in the community, or in the pretty much the whole United States. We're the number one fishing port, and with that much crew getting it done, you guys should see how much they go around and turn in circle just to make sure they accommodate everybody. I always behind there. I might not be saying much, but I see what all they do and how much hard work they put in there to make sure we got happy customers and make sure they keep people coming back in here, especially the fishing industries. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the staff at ports. I think they do an awesome job at taking care of vessels, whether it's a storm or if we, you know, boats are breaking loose or snow removal, all in any issue that we have, they seem to take care of it, you know, promptly. And I just want to say thank you to all the staff, and they're valued very much. And I support the contract as it's been negotiated, and I appreciate everybody working together to make that happen on both sides of the table. And so it's, you know, not always, it's a little bit harder with ports being a proprietary fund, of course, and it directly affects rates. So I just appreciate everybody's efforts, and it's not always easy. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, just a big thank you to the Courts Department. They're a group of professionals, and I appreciate the work they do. I am happy that both sides were able to come to the table and come to an agreement, and that they ratified it. And that is why I voted in favor of it. Or that's why I will vote in favor of it.
Councilman Robinson. city clerk. Has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, they haven't, sir.
I restate the motion. Council Resolution 2023-27, authorizing the city manager to sign the agreement between the city of Unalaska and the Inman Boatman's Union of the Pacific Alaska region, representing the Department of Ports and Harbor and employees. Moved by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Have a roll call vote, please.
Certainly. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman? Yes. Mr. Tumble?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
And Mr. Bell?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 5-0. With this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2023-27. Council's directives to the city manager. If there are any directives, need a motion and a second and a roll call vote. Any directives? Councilman Robinson or Luby? None, hearing none. Community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. They must vacate themselves. Any further announcements, city clerk? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Thank you. Having completed all items on the agenda at 7:28 p.m. Good night, Unalaska.